T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This is Late Night.
This is Late Night
on Sports Radio WEEI.
Yeah, we would have probably won a championship already. Those moments are everything, and we did some legendary shit. I did some legendary shit too, so like.
Sunshine beating out the good times, moonlight raising from the grave, string band playing more.
So. I loved what we saw last night from Isaiah Thomas. We'll get into the game itself because I didn't love that so much. I loved listening to IT. I loved watching IT. And I loved the reminder of having IT in the building. It reminded us of just how special that particular group of Celtics was and just how likable it was. We all knew that that team had a ceiling. But I think that the fact that we knew that that team had a ceiling is what made it so special to begin with and what makes Isaiah Thomas so special to begin with. Because when you think of what he gave up for a team that he knew had a ceiling, there is no way that Brad Stevens, Isaiah Thomas, Danny Ainge really and truly believed that 2017 Celtics was going to contend to win a championship. And all the evidence that you need to see is right in what Danny Ainge did that offseason. Immediately after the Celtics lost to the Cavaliers in 5 games, Danny Ainge took a team that was literally a Final Four team. As a matter of fact, at one stage in the game in 2017, there were 3 teams left in the NBA as the Western Conference was wrapped up and the Celtics and Cavaliers weren't done yet. So 3 teams still playing, and your Celtics were one of them. And what did Danny Ainge do? He blew the team up. 11 out of 15 guys were gone. But that didn't stop Isaiah Thomas from literally giving up, sacrificing what looks to be the remainder of his career as a elite player, or even as a capable player in the NBA, a serviceable player in the NBA, as well as the Brinks truck. Those things went out the window. And instead of him harboring hate, instead of him harboring angst, instead of him harboring resentment, we saw a guy come back to Boston last night and show the rest of the NBA why the Boston Celtics and the city of Boston should be considered one of the premier, if not the premier, destinations for any potential NBA player, be it free agent or be it through a trade. So it is Sports Radio, WEEI. My name is Patrick Gilroy. This is Late Night. Room for you guys tonight at 617-779-7937. You text the program at 37937. You find me on Twitter, at Gilroy on Hoops, at Gilroy on Hoops. We are going to start the show tonight talking about what we saw last night with the Celtics. The whole Isaiah Thomas thing, we'll start with that. Get into the game itself, and there were some ugly points to that game. And look, Villani said it. I was listening on the drive-in. This Celtics team, they have made some improvements. They have come, I think, kind of a long way since their magical West Coast flight a few weeks back. I really do believe that, for example, I think that this team is going to go on the road tomorrow in Philly, and I think they're going to win. And the evidence is there. This team, historically speaking, has done a number on the Sixers. It's a must-win situation, and I feel like it's a gut-check game. So for all those reasons, I feel like this team is going to be okay tomorrow night. But what Villani said was absolutely true. This team needs to find a way to do a much better job of absorbing a punch, absorbing a blow, and not just collapsing like a dying star unto itself, because that's exactly what we saw from this team last night. Make no mistake about it, Denver's a pretty good team. I mean, they've got a better record than the Celtics. They've been neck and neck all season long with Golden State. They're a very good regular season team. But I don't think anybody's considering the Nuggets a legit championship contender. And, you know, not for nothing, but the Celtics, talent-wise, should be right there with the Denver Nuggets. So we'll get into the specifics of what went wrong for the Celtics last night and what this team can do to try and fix what went wrong with about 10 games remaining in the regular season. We really are approaching the home stretch for the Boston Celtics, and playoff basketball is on the horizon. And what we saw with Isaiah Thomas in the building last night, if you did not get goosebumps, if you're a Celtics fan that watched that thing, you didn't get goosebumps, you didn't get a little emotional, you didn't have a big smile on your face just because he makes you happy watching him. Like, just watching him watch his video should make a Celtics fan happy. That's the thing that's been missing with this team, by the way. And if you compare and contrast just what we saw, the emotional visceral reaction from the fans to Isaiah Thomas and from Isaiah Thomas to the fans last night. That is the connection that has been missing with this team all season long. That's why the ratings are down. That's why fans say that this team is unlikable. They don't have that guy. You know, not for nothing, Kyrie Irving is a supremely talented player. Make no mistake about it, he is one of the top 5-10 players in the league, and he's miles ahead. If you take Isaiah Thomas at his prime versus Kyrie at his prime, Isaiah Thomas, you know, he still can't compare. But Kyrie's a much more complete player. There's so much more that he can do. Now, is IT a better scorer? Maybe. I mean, the evidence tells you that in his prime, he averaged nearly 30 points a game. But his prime was such a short period of time where Kyrie Irving's done it now for like 6 straight years. So when you look at that, it's hard to compare the two. And I feel like one guy really can be a cornerstone piece of your franchise for many years to come in Kyrie Irving, where Isaiah Thomas was, you know, he was a bolt of lightning. He was an aberration. He was something that we'll never see again. And I got to tell you, I don't think that when you think about it like this and you put it in this sort of context, what we saw at the Garden last night, I mean, we're talking about a guy who played in Boston for only 2.5 years. 2.5 years. And he earned that much love, that much respect, that much adoration, that much noise from the crowd, that kind of video, all of that. He earned all that a year and a half after he was traded. Think about that for a minute. He only played here 2.5 years. And a year and a half after the trade, we saw that spectacle at the Garden last night. That tells you all you need to know about how much this city loves him and how much this city respects what he did. And that's exactly the type of player that is missing. No, let me correct that. That is exactly the type of person that is missing from this particular group of Boston Celtics. You want to take this team and maximize them? You want to take this relatively same group of talented players and maximize what they can give you next year? Give me Isaiah Thomas for 10 minutes a night, 15 minutes a night. Give me Isaiah Thomas taking over for Terry Rozier. Same group of guys, swap out Rozier. Give me Isaiah Thomas. It's clear he'll never be the same player ever again. It's clear that right now Rozier is a better player. It's clear that IT is clearly on the back nine, and barring some sort of miraculous health resurgence from this guy, you know, it looks like that hip is going to slow him down for the remainder of his career. But I don't care, because the joy, the attitude, the feistiness, the personality, all of that he brings to a basketball team, all of that he brings to a locker room, all of that he brings to the atmosphere in which he's in and around, that's exactly what this team is missing. And I feel like that it would be a no-brainer. He wants to come back. This team needs a guy like him. This team needs a guy that loves this city the way that he does and connects with the fans the way that he does. And it might be hard for fans to get used to watching him be an average player, but we'll get over it. We'll get over it. I feel like at this point, at this stage in the game, I feel like Isaiah Thomas, he realizes that he is never going to return to be the player that he used to be. And that's a shame. When you think about everything that he sacrificed, when you think about everything that he gave up, I mean, not for nothing, you find me another player in the NBA that put team over self in a contract year. All of these players that we watch now with their flipping load management, taking games off, taking quarters off. Right now, LeBron James, they're not mathematically eliminated out there in L.A., but he's on a minutes restriction. He's not injured. Okay? Everybody is a big you-know-what in the NBA these days. Meanwhile, you got Isaiah Thomas, the smallest guy on the court. He's out there playing through a ripped-up hip, playing through losing his teeth and an orbital fracture, playing through the death of his sister, and doing it all for you, doing it all for me, and doing it all for this franchise. And yeah, it's a sin that they traded him, but it was the right move. And I feel like after the emotion was removed from that trade, Isaiah Thomas realized that too. And to watch him come back to Boston last night and listen to what he had to say about his love and admiration for you guys, the fans, and for this city, my God, that's exactly what this team needs. It's exactly the type of person that this Boston Celtics team needs. And I feel like a guy like that in this locker room could help this locker room, because this locker room's been broken all season long. Having somebody like that to ground these guys, I think could go a long way. And I don't know if he'll have the same impact, you know, with everybody else if he's averaging 8 points a night on 12 minutes, because that's essentially what he's going to be. Again, barring some sort of miraculous physical recovery. We saw him there last night when he was watching the tribute video before he even got in the game. The hip was already wrapped. So he's a guy that's missed a considerable amount of time over the last year and a half trying to get back from that hip injury, and it's clear He is not 100%, and he may never, ever be 100% again. But the Celtics owe it to him. They owe it to him. They owe it to him to bring him back. They owe it to him to give him an opportunity. And you know what? I feel like Isaiah Thomas on this team next year, he would help this team. He would be a net positive for this basketball team. And I thoroughly enjoyed what the Celtics did last night, what Isaiah Thomas did last night. I did not enjoy the Celtics game last night. And again, we'll get into that game itself coming up in a minute here, because going into this week, I told you guys on Sunday, there were two huge games this week for the Celtics. There's no more screwing around, really. I mean, this team is on the precipice of making the playoffs. They're on the precipice of going into a playoff sort of year where Las Vegas said they were supposed to go to the finals. It's been an up-and-down year all season long. And each and every time we feel like this team has turned that corner and started to look like the team that we thought that they could be, they've let us down. And last night was just the latest example of the Boston Celtics not living up to the expectations that were put forth by not only Las Vegas, but me, most of the pundits here locally, all the pundits nationally, and the fans as well. It's been one big season of constant disappointment for the Boston Celtics. And it's a shame, but they certainly still have enough talent to make a run in the postseason. Right now, it's all about what level of faith do we have in this team's ability to put that talent together before it's too late. I mean, here we are with about 10 games to go, and Gordon Hayward's missing more time. Every time this guy has seemingly turned that corner and started to look like the guy that we hoped he could be before the year was over, he's dealt with another setback, another injury, and this time it's the concussion. Al Horford, he's going to be load managed between now and the end of the season, with Brad Stevens saying he's going to miss 3 or 4 games between now and then to rest up that knee. I'm sure Kyrie Irving's going to miss some time. So now we're talking about a Celtics team that might not even win 50 games between now and the end of the season. That is a massive disappointment, but disappointments can be turned around with a good playoff run. It's just my level of faith in this team's ability to have that playoff run. Let's put it this way. If Isaiah Thomas was on this team, I might have some sort of unrealistic faith, because he's the type of personality that makes you believe in the impossible. This Celtics team doesn't have a guy like that. So it is Sports Radio, WEEI. My name is Patrick Gilroy. Look, when we come back, we'll get into Isaiah Thomas some more, some specifics about what IT may and may not be able to bring this team next year. Also want to talk about last night's game and pretty much tell you this. If they bring the sort of effort, especially in the third and fourth quarter, that they showed last night at home against Denver, if they've got that sort of effort tomorrow night on the road in Philadelphia, forget about it. And this is a huge game for Philadelphia tomorrow night, because going into the playoffs, they know they're going to face the Celtics, right? This is the new-look Sixers. They still haven't beat the Celtics with Tobias Harris, with Jimmy Butler. It still hasn't made a difference. They want to make a statement to the Boston Celtics tomorrow. They want to show the Celtics and the rest of the NBA that, you know, that 23-3 or whatever it is in their last 26 games, it's irrelevant. It's the new Sixers versus the old Celtics. The Sixers, they're going to come ready to hunt down the Celtics tomorrow night. Be very, very curious to see how this team responds in the face of adversity once again. So it is Sports Radio, WEI. It is Late Night. My name is Patrick Gilroy. Room for you when we come back at 617-779-7937. It is Late Night right here on Sports Radio, WEI. It's Patrick Gilroy with you as we'll make our way together only till midnight tonight. It's an abbreviated edition of Late Night tonight. I'm sorry. But I've got a super early flight tomorrow morning, so I got to get at least an hour of sleep. When I have these 5 a.m. flights and I get off the air at 2, that means I get home at 3, which means I just get in the shower, put on a suit, and go back to Boston and get on an airplane. So at least this way, Chris Curtis was generous enough to allow me the privilege of 90 minutes of sleep, and I'm going to soak up all 90 minutes of that sleep. I'm looking forward to that. But, you know, it's an abbreviated edition, but that's okay, because we're going to pack in quite a bit here between now and midnight tonight. Dan Greenberg from Barstool Sports is going to join us coming up here in a little while. Until then, want to get to your phone calls, reminiscing about what we saw last night from Isaiah Thomas, and really thinking forward. There's going to be some changes, some wholesale changes on this Celtics roster, but I feel like one of the changes that we can almost certainly sort of bank on is the fact that Terry Rozier, who's a restricted free agent, is not going to be back here next year. So if you make the leap, make the assumption that Kyrie Irving sticks around, that he doesn't get tempted by LeBron James and the Lakers or going with Kevin Durant to New York, and ultimately he decides to stay here where he can make $70 million more than he can make anywhere else and get the additional year of guaranteed money on his deal. If you make that assumption that Kyrie sticks around here, I feel like Isaiah Thomas would be the perfect complementary backup point guard to a guy like Kyrie Irving. Not to mention, He sort of solves the unlikability problem that this Celtics team has suffered through for the better part of this season. So we're talking about that with you guys tonight at 617-779-7937. Let's get out to these calls. Let's go to John. John's in the car. John, you're first up here on WEEI.
Pat. Okay. Well, again, I'll state this. Last night was nice. It was great that IT was back.
Yep.
He had a nice 2.5 seasons. But let's talk. Let's be realistic.
Sure.
IT got out of Sacramento. IT gets out of the places where he got because he didn't want to be the backup point guard. If you thought that Terry Rozier was a headache this year, feeling, you know, because he wanted to be the number one.
Yep.
The same thing is going to happen with IT.
I disagree. If this were a year and a half ago, when he still thought that he was going to heal and he was going to get back to being the guy that he used to be, I'd be 1,000% with you. I would hesitate about bringing him back in a backup role. But I feel like he is completely resigned to the fact that he signed a veteran minimum deal, a prove-it-to-me deal with Denver. He knows what he is right now. He can't break their – he's not even an active player. The only reason Mike Malone played him last night was because of the situation in Boston. He's barely an NBA player right now.
And he looked pathetic. So wait a minute. You want a barely NBA player?
I want him.
So much,
John.
That makes no sense.
John, I want him to be Brad Wanamaker. That's what I want.
Oh, so you want like a Geno? Like,
yeah.
That's essentially.
I want somebody.
So ridiculous.
Really?
Okay,
hold on, John. You say it's ridiculous, but then you don't give me a solution. You tell me how to fix the massive attitude and chemistry problem on this team.
Okay. Well, here's where I think you're not in reality, Pat, because all you're thinking about is where the Celtics are. But let's think about context. How did the Raptors do this weekend against the Pistons?
What's your point?
Because Pat, when you think about reality and what the playoff structure in the Eastern Conference is that the Celtics still live rent free in Philadelphia's head. Toronto is still suspect until proven otherwise. The Pacers are, if you haven't been watching the NBA in the past couple weeks, falling since they lost Oladipo. They had a nice run after he got hurt, but they are falling by the wayside.
Well, they're not. You say they're – hold on. John, stop. They were – the Celtics and Pacers are in this exact same place that they were in when they lost Oladipo. So they've made up no ground.
After Oladipo got hurt, the Pacers went on a nice little run where they were doing better than everybody thought.
Correct.
Now
they've had a tough week.
To come back
yeah, they've first. Had a tough week. But what's so, your are you suggesting? So much, are you suggesting that I don't think the Celtics can contend in the East because I never said that?
No, but you. Whenever it's the woe is me. And
it's not
like,
woe is me at all. But I'm sick of this.
You're part of the crew that makes it because you're part of the IT. Is the best thing to slice.
But you're wrong about that. I said Kyrie Irving's a better player. He's a better player, but the Celtics are going to be in the market for a backup point guard next year, and he's going to be in the market for a team.
You want an NBA player to be your backup point guard.
I have no problem with it.
All of a sudden, who, by the way, when his team, who is going to the playoffs and clinch the playoff berth, is nowhere to be found when his team is here, you know, going having fun. Hey, we clinched this.
Are you a miserable person, John? Like, are you unhappy?
I just deal in reality.
Well, your reality sucks. It is Sports Radio, WEEI. My name is Patrick Gilroy. Room for you guys tonight at 617-779-7937. Look, you know, if we can't have fun after what we saw last night, that's the thing. Like, the whole thing, the whole missing part with this Celtics team, in my opinion, is the fun factor. And you know what? The fun factor is important. Ask the people at NBC Sports Boston, because when the fun factor is there, their ratings go through the roof. This year, this team has been unlikable. They have been difficult to watch. They have had chemistry issues. There has been infighting. It just hasn't been an enjoyable product most of the time. Now, I am a diehard fan, so I will watch every single flipping game. All right, and I can, like I said before, I convinced myself that Vin Baker was going to get sober and that Purvis Ellison was going to be healthy and that D. Brown was going to be an all-star and that Sherman Douglas wasn't fat, okay? That's how I went through my childhood. It's okay. I'm going to watch every game no matter what because that's who I am. But the fun factor that reels in everybody else, that makes it that is sort of incredible, electric, fun product to watch, that hasn't been there this year. You know, this team has reminded me so much of you know, the Cleveland teams that we haven't liked in years past, where it's all about the star player, and it's not about everybody else. And that's fine if the star player can handle it, but I feel like we've learned this year that Kyrie Irving, he's had a hard time. He's gotten better, but he's had a hard time handling it. But, John, you know, in no way, shape, or form am I suggesting that the Celtics don't have a shot in the Eastern Conference. I've never said that. But I don't feel like they've got an advantage either. So, in other words, it's 50-50. And, unfortunately, in my experience in the NBA, when it comes down to 50-50, that's where home court advantage really matters. And the Celtics continue to piss away opportunities to grab home court advantage. Because what was supposed to be just this gigantic game tomorrow night in Philadelphia, just 48 hours ago, it was going to be a chance for this team to get within a half a game of Philadelphia. Now they're 3 games back of Philly. And you know, I know that in the NBA, the regular season doesn't matter all that much, but it does when it comes to a team like the Celtics. That's sort of a team that's a seesaw type team where you're not sure what you're going to get on a game in and game out basis. That's where having that additional game at home really matters. And that's where this team, I feel like, is really going to miss that additional game at the Garden. So it is Sports Radio, WEEI, room for you guys tonight at 617-779-7937. Let's get back out to the call. Let's go to Mike. Mike's in North Providence. Mike, how you doing, buddy?
Hi, Patrick.
Hey, Mike.
You know, count me out of bringing on a one-legged dwarf gunner who didn't play a lick of defense.
Yeah, I know. I just want Brad Wanamaker. That's all I want. I want him here for the attitude. I want him here because he brings joy to the game, and this team desperately
needs. He's a nice guy.
They need joy.
Nice guy. I don't have anything personal against Isaiah. It's just, you know, you have the one thing things to keep in mind here, unless this Anthony Davis trade goes down, we're going to have 3 draft picks we're going to have to find a place in playing time for next year.
Not here. You know? Not here. They're going to have to, and here's the sin of this. You know this. Danny's going to have to trade them for 50 cents on the dollar. Unless they have a massive overhaul, how do you bring on 3 guys? I'm glad you called tonight because one of the notes I wrote down was 20 minutes for Jaylen Brown last night.
That's
36. 36 for Marcus Morris. He led the team in minutes.
go ahead, sorry.
No, but how do you reconcile that and then add 3 more 20-year-olds to this team? You can't do it.
I mean, we've talked about this before. I mean, honestly, NBA agents are going to be telling Danny, don't pick my guy, you know, after what's happened this year. I mean, I'm going to tell you, the word's going to be – there's no doubt about this. They're all talking about the team. You hear about little bits in here, there, like, you know, Anthony Davis's father going and saying they betrayed Isaiah. This team does not have a good rep in the league. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And it's getting worse by the day. But, you know, the key thing here is, like you were talking about with Marcus Morris playing the most, Brad doesn't seem to understand who his best players are. And this is the prime sin of any coach in any sport. You have to know who your best guys are. And in the case of Jaylen Brown, like since the turn of the year, I mean, he's been the leader in net rating on the team, at least amongst the regulars.
No, he's been great.
He's been the second. If you go and I advise you to do this, go to back to December 1st and just do per 36 so
yeah.
Everybody's zeroed out to the same rate. He's the second best scorer on the team.
No, he's been great.
He's been efficiently jacking. He's been very efficient. He's shooting 48%, you know, I mean, 37% on threes. The kid's been great. And then what happens right from the beginning, I'm like, here we go again. I could see it. They didn't go to him. He took 2 shots in the first half. I'm like, you know, this guy's your second best scorer. And you're playing the number 2 seed in the West, and it's like, I could care less. We don't need to get him the ball. I want to score points. You see, at the very end of the game, the very, very last play, he put in his offensive lineup. He put Terry Rozier out there and pulled Jaylen. I mean, what is going on here?
I don't know. I don't know what he's got against Jaylen. There's clearly there's a disconnect there because it's not like he doesn't play young guys. When you look at the minutes that a guy like Tatum gets, even Rozier. Rozier's had an up-and-down year, but he gets more minutes, right? Last night he had 22 minutes to Jaylen Brown's 20. And Rozier, like, legitimately might not have a real role on this team when it's compared to a guy like Jaylen Brown. We look at him and say he could be a great two-way player. He could be a starter here for 10 years. The upside isn't there with a guy like Rozier.
Can I just tell you something? This is since January 1st. These are the plus-minuses. Al Horford's 137. Jaylen Brown is 133. Terry Rozier's 23. Now, I want you to think about how much Jaylen Brown and Terry Rozier play together. As it is.
Right.
Jaylen is stuck with this guy a lot of the time. So to get up to 133
right.
means, he's coming off the bench doing this. Almost all the other guys with good plus minuses are starters. So it's like and then of course Marcus Morris is minus 22. So I mean, it's just, and do you think Brad is aware of this stuff? It's an aesthetic thing. That's what it really boils down to.
But Marcus Morris, to me, aesthetically, but Marcus Morris, to me, he there's a value for a Marcus Morris in the league. A guy that brings a little chip on his shoulder, can certainly, you know, hit a three, he can get hot. Somebody like him, I like the attitude when he got here. Remember, he was supposed to be the LeBron stopper, whatever. I think there's value for that, 12, 15 minutes a night. But playing him equal or as many minutes or more minutes than starters, and you know, taking a guy like Jaylen Brown or even at this stage in the game, Semi Ojeleye or Gordon Hayward, those guys deserve more minutes. It just doesn't make sense to me. You know, he's making boneheaded plays. He's turning the ball over. I can't tell you how many times offensively when the Celtics are finally, they're moving the ball, they're moving without the ball, they look like the Celtics again. Then Marcus Morris comes back in the game and it's, you know, he's going to gun it up and everything goes south again. And I have to believe that this brilliant, quote-unquote, basketball mind in Brad Stevens sees the same stuff that you see, that I see. I just don't understand in what basketball world does Marcus Morris earn consistently 15 to 20 more minutes a night than Jaylen Brown. I don't understand that world.
Well, where I'm coming from, I think it is an aesthetic thing. I really do. I don't think that Brad looks at this stuff or really cares about it too much. These stats I'm talking about that clearly show that Brown is way beyond this guy. He goes and looks at Jaylen, and, you know, Jaylen can look really awkward at times. Like, when he doesn't – he's almost like a baby deer at times, you know what I'm saying? He just – and when he looks bad, he can look really bad on the play. And then Brad goes, oh, you see that? And that's all that sticks in his head is that he looked like that. The fact that he's physically overwhelming people the rest of the time, the fact that he's playing this great defense and hitting these shots, it doesn't register. He's counting the misses when it comes to somebody like Brown, and he's counting the makes when it comes to somebody like Morris. It's confirmation bias, full, pure and simple.
I'll tell you this, too. The other thing with Jaylen Brown is when he makes those mistakes this year, the difference because Gordon Hayward's back, because there's other guys here, because Marcus Morris is playing nearly 10 minutes a night more this year than he was last year. Jaylen's looking over his shoulder this year. Last year, the last 2 months of the regular season and in through their playoff run, Jaylen Brown didn't look over his shoulder. If he made a mistake, he shook it off and made the next play. This year, he's looking over his shoulder because he knows he's one mistake away from being taken out of the game.
And you know what? Another thing is, this is really killing the team, too, because we've talked about this in the past, too. It's free throws. The odd thing is, when you do that per 36 thing from December 1st, also go and compare that to the playoffs. Brown and Tatum are essentially matching their production per minute from the playoffs. They're just not getting the minutes, particularly Brown enough.
Right.
Even then, they're still really good. Like, you know, when I talk about plus-minus thing, you know, Brown's 133, Tatum's 130. Their quality and their skill, they rise above. They carry the team when they're allowed to. Unfortunately, this doesn't happen enough because their coach, like, it's not registering in his head. He plays them and he kind of discounts, you know, the positives. I just don't understand it.
Yeah, Mike, listen, good stuff. I appreciate the phone call. And I don't understand it either. And it's one of those things that we're going to have to continue to monitor here, because when I look at a guy like Jaylen Brown, here's the difference. If you play for a bad team, if you're the number three pick in the draft and you come into the league playing for a bad team, you're allowed the luxury of making, you know, a handful of mistakes a game and learning on the fly and getting better sort of slowly year after year after year. When you're the number three pick in the draft and you come to the Boston Celtics where you're contending right away, you know, you don't have the luxury of making those sort of mistakes. And then you're a guy like Jason Tatum, you come in and you're a much more polished player. You're coming from Duke. You've just got that natural sort of smoothness to your game. Jaylen Brown doesn't have that. You know, he's rough around the edges. But if I'm building a team tomorrow and I've got to start with, you know, a cornerstone type of player, I'm taking Jaylen Brown 10 out of 10 times over a guy like Marcus Morris. Marcus Morris has had a nice run here. He has. And I still think there's a lot of value for a guy like Marcus Morris in the NBA and even here with the Celtics. But in no way, shape, or form should he be a guy that is consistently playing 35 to 38 minutes a night. Not at the expense of Jaylen Brown. Not when Jaylen Brown sometimes doesn't even crack 20 minutes a night. Let's grab one more before the break here. Let's go to Dennis. Dennis is in Milton. Dennis, you're next up here on WEEI.
Hey, thanks for having me.
My pleasure, Dennis. What's on your mind, man?
Longtime Celtics fan since the Russell era. I've been watching all the great teams, and I've suffered through the bad times, the 20 years from... 87 to 2007 as a season ticket holder. Seen virtually every team that they've had. Love the Celtics. There are some real issues with this team. I agree with you about Morris. When Morris came to us, one of the things they talked about his toughness. But he's turned into someone who's really more concerned about his scoring than his toughness.
That's right.
Is that, as I look at the players on the team, you know, last year was almost fool's gold. It was almost a problem for the team this year. Tatum, Brown, Morris, Rozier are all create your own offense and absolutely below level passing. The ball stops when it gets to them. They're looking to score their own baskets rather than move the ball. The offense stops. If you look at Horford and Kyrie, who is a tremendous offensive player, he still looks to pass the ball, knows he's a point guard, and lately has had some very high assist games. Tatum and Brown have a lot of games with very few assists, as does Morris. And then Rozier comes off the bench very frustrated. He's a free agent. Morris is a free agent. And Tatum and Brown want theirs now because they had so much success last year. They see this guy Hayward come in with a big contract. They think they're better than he is, and they are now. And they're very frustrated. So we got four guys into a position of three with the forwards and young guys who want their own and or free agents, and it's just a volatile mix that is not working well.
Hey, you mentioned Gordon Hayward, and I do think, you know, he's not close to being all the way back yet, but one of the real incremental pieces of value that I think he brings to this team, and he showed it, I'm going to say especially over the last 6 to 8 weeks, is that he's not a guy that's looking to shoot first. He's an elite playmaker at his position. He's able to, like, take, for example, when he won the game in Sacramento. You know, he brings the ball down the length of the floor, creates his own shot. He can do that for himself, and he can set other people up. And I feel like when he's on the floor with that second unit, especially with a guy like Jaylen Brown, when he's out there with Jaylen Brown and Marcus Morris, the ball does move more because it's likely that the ball is going through Gordon Hayward's hands first. Therefore, the shot opportunities that they get are a little bit better. But when Gordon Hayward's out like he has been, it shows itself in that second unit.
You're absolutely right. You know, Hayward is a secondary ball handler. That's why he was brought here. But what's happened to him, partially because of the injury and partially because of the guys he's playing with, he's relegated to going to stand in the corner and waiting for the ball to be thrown to him. That's not how he's effective. I think of him and how Kevin Love was treated when he went to the Cavaliers for us. There was a guy who was a great low post scorer and passer.
They ruined
and
him.
Rebounder who was told to stand in the corner and wait for LeBron to throw him the ball.
Yep. They ruined him. He was a 26 and you know 15 guy, and they ruined him. They made him relegated him to 3-point shooting in the corner. Completely ruined him.
And you watch Hayward. He goes into the corner and he's waiting, and the ball doesn't get thrown to him. When he touches the ball, even though he's a 20-point plus scorer, the ball's going to somebody else if that's the right play. So they are not operating as a team in sync right now. Some of it has to do with personality. I mean, there is some, I'm a big fan of Stevens, but it is true. He's made his bones in this game by having overachieving teams. And this is a team with what looks like a lot of talent, and it's underachieving. So he's got to make some changes to the way he deals with these guys.
He does that. It's great stuff, man. And listen, I appreciate the phone call. That 20-year stretch, that was my I'm 39 years old. So most of my life up until 2008, the Celtics weren't a very good basketball team. Put it this way. I barely remember 86. I was 6 years old. But I vividly remember 89, 90, 91, watching Larry Bird lie down, watching Kevin McHale just be a shell of himself. Reggie Lewis dying. I mean, Todd Day and Blue Edwards era. Come on. It was rough going. Luckily, this underachieving team is nothing like those teams. And you know what? They're going to go into the playoffs and maybe they'll make some noise. So it is Sports Radio, WEI, the love-in for Isaiah Thomas. That is not ended yet. Matter of fact, it's just getting started. When we come back, we'll be joined by Isaiah Thomas's number one fan, Dan Greenberg from Barstool Sports. He's going to join us next right here on Sports Radio, WEI.
No, you're part of the crew that makes it, because you're part of the IT is the best thing since sliced bread.
You're the crew, part of the ship. Part of the crew, part
steady,
of the
man.
Ship.
Part of the crew, part of the ship.
Going and having fun. Hey, we clinched this.
Are you a miserable person, John? Like, are you unhappy?
I just deal in reality.
Well, your reality sucks.
You are without doubt the worst pirate I've ever heard of.
But you have heard of.
You will always remember this as the day that you almost caught Captain Jack.
There's just a certain group of people out there that you can't make happy. And is it painfully obvious that Isaiah Thomas is no longer going to be the guy that puts up 29.5 points a game and finishes top five in the MVP? Barring some sort of miraculous healing of his hip, yeah, it's painfully obvious. And it's sad. He sacrificed all of that for a couple more playoff wins for a team that had a ceiling. And we complain so much about Kyrie Irving and the star attitude that you've got, you know, in today's Celtics team. And around the NBA, it's not just the Celtics. You know, Kevin Durant's taken a beating this year because of the things that he has said in post-game press conferences. But that is it's the attitude of today's NBA star. And it is so rare. And we've been so lucky here in Boston over the years. When you think about Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce, even Ray Allen and Rajon Rondo, they had their diva moments, but it was nothing like today's modern-day superstar. And then Isaiah Thomas comes here, and you know, he explodes onto the scene, and all he ever talked about, yeah, he talked about the Brinks truck, but a lot of that was said almost in jest. He had a fun time doing it. All he ever talked about was how much he loved this city, how much he wanted to be here, and we saw it on his face last night. That was genuine, and that was real. And if you didn't have an emotional, visceral reaction to that, then I feel like maybe you don't have a soul. But it is sports radio. WEI, my name is Patrick Gilroy. Joining me on the line right now is the guy that roots for Isaiah Thomas just a little bit more than I do, and that's hard to do. His name is Dan Greenberg. He writes for Barstool Sports. And Greeny, are we okay right now, or are you still emotionally kind of a wreck? Because I got to tell you, I found myself in the office today, randomly, around 3 o'clock, getting a little choked up watching that video for maybe the 14th time, 15th time.
Yeah, you know, I actually just watched it right before coming on, so I'm a little emotional as we speak about it, but it was a perfect tribute night, I think, for Celtics fans who are, you know, big Isaiah guys and believed in what he did here and how much he wanted to be here. It was, I think, you know, a lot of people say, oh, this is the organization trying to make up for, you know, trading him. For me, it was about the fan base and those of us who appreciated everything he did and remember everything he did to sort of, you know, show him that love. And it was a great night.
When we look at Isaiah Thomas, the basketball player, and then we think about what he was compared to what he is, I don't think anybody realized when he got traded that he might never be the same again. It was always, you know, he's going to need 6 months off. He's going to need a year off. He's going to need time off, but he'll come back. He'll be okay. But Dan, here we are a year and a half removed from the trade. And the first thing I noticed last night before he got into the game was that he still had the hip wrapped. I mean, this guy is clearly, he's a shell of himself. We talk about Gordon Hayward being a shell of himself, but at least Hayward looks like he can still play 25 minutes a night. Isaiah Thomas only played last night because of the moment. A year and a half later, he's struggling to get NBA minutes.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough, but I wouldn't rule him out just yet. I think, you know, with the right situation and right opportunity and, you know, as he continues to work and get healthy, why can't he be the same guy, you know, or close to it offensively? I mean, he certainly hasn't put on the NBA miles, so I would look at it that way. But when you look at their team and their rotation, Monty Morris is having a better season and deserves those minutes given what you're seeing on the floor right now. So it's tough that he falls out of the rotation, but I don't think we're close to closing the book just yet.
So you know where I'm going to go with this, because nobody was afraid to talk about it last night. Steve Burton asked him the question outright, and I love the answer. I mean, in a day and age where players are so cautious about what they say because they're always angling for their next big contract, you know, they're worried about tampering, yada, yada, yada. IT came right out last night multiple times and pretty much put it out there and said, hey, look, I'm going to be a free agent. I love it here, so I don't see a reason why I can't come back. What you just said, though, sort of scares me a little bit, because if Dan Greenberg believes that Isaiah Thomas could be somewhat close to what he used to be in the right system, and you're a Celtics fan hoping for him to come back, I feel like the only role for him here would be to happily accept a backup role behind Kyrie Irving. You're not talking about bringing him back here to be Kyrie's replacement, are you?
No. But think of it this way. Let's say Terry Rozier gets a big restricted free agent offer and Ainge doesn't want to match it. So he's gone. Then you have Brad Wanamaker on a one-year deal. I mean, is Brad Wanamaker, as awesome as he is in his, you know, flashes and blowouts, is that, you know, worth if you need guard depth? Why not? He's going to cost low money. Why not bring Isaiah in and give him the coach and the system that, you know, he was that player in to see, okay, if you're healthy and you're looking good and you're in that system, now let's see if you can get back to that player. I say if you need guard depth and he comes at low risk and low years, why, it's almost, it would be irresponsible for them to not bring him back.
I mean, when I think, you know, we heard the stories, we heard the rumors last year in the offseason, and Isaiah essentially confirmed it yesterday. I mean, think about what he did. He picked up the phone. He called Danny Ainge. He recruited Danny Ainge in free agency last year. And just to let him know that, hey, there's no hard feelings. I'm available. And Danny was in the middle of his contract negotiations with Marcus Smart and didn't want to tie up a little bit of money that they might need from Marcus Smart. Otherwise, if they had signed Marcus Smart 2 weeks before they did, there was a chance that IT could have been a Celtic this year.
Yeah, and I think as long as he, you know, you understand what you're getting with him, and you, and now that we've, you know, had him and we've seen what he can do on both ends of the floor, I think Brad's a lot more experienced in, you know, how to hide deficiencies, how to get the most out of him. But if we're looking, I mean, look at our second quarters. Look how we, you know, our second unit goes in these offensive scoring lulls and we, you know, dig ourselves in these double-digit deficits. Let's say Isaiah is 75% of what we saw when he was an all-NBA player. That has to be better than what we're getting now in those same minutes with players that could potentially cost 10 times what Isaiah would on a minimum deal.
No, you're absolutely right about that. And you know, the thing that I sort of started the show with tonight, Dan, was regardless of – I'm going to make the assumption that, you know, Isaiah can come back and still be a serviceable NBA player, whether he's putting up 8 points a night or 18 points a night. I still think that there's a role for him in the NBA. But more importantly, when we're talking about this particular group of Celtics, make the assumption that you're bringing back 80% of the roster next year. Well, what worries me about that is there's still a massive attitude and chemistry issue that continues to bubble up and affect this team periodically throughout the season. Do you think a player like an Isaiah Thomas could join a team like this particular addition to the Celtics and help solve some of their unhappiness issues, some of their unlikability issues? Or would a reduced Isaiah Thomas not have the ability to do that?
Well, I look at it this direction, right? When you think of Isaiah and his time as a Celtic, you would think this is a guy that embraced what it means to play here, that understands what it's like to put on that uniform and the effort and the energy on a consistent basis that it takes. Why wouldn't that be a good thing for this locker room? I would say this team needs a little bit of that, you know, don't worry about the shots or the roles. They need people who actually want to be a Celtic and understand and appreciate and thrive in that role. So you bring in one of the all-time, you know, guys who are pro this franchise and what it means to be a player on this team, I think that only helps.
When you think about this, Dan, too, he was only here for 2.5 years. And what we witnessed last night was quite literally a year and a half after his last shot here in Boston. So when you think about the brief period of time that he played here, plus the sort of extended period of time it's been since he actually wore a Celtics uniform and contributed here, that sort of love that has stuck around for that amount of time, it's like nothing I've ever seen before. So, you know, in all your years of watching sports, covering sports, be it locally, be it nationally, I don't care. Can you think of any other player in any sport, basketball, baseball, football, doesn't matter, that's had this kind of an impact in such a short period of time?
I mean, that's tough. Just because you have to think of everything that he did as a player in terms of their success and how he pretty much dragged this team into the playoffs in his first year with a team that was 12, 13 games under 500. And then you have to think about how he set you up for the future because you have guys like Horford and Hayward that were open about the fact that he was a major reason why they committed to play for the Celtics. So when you combine both those things, I mean, I'm sure there are, and I'm just still, you know, emotionally drunk off last night, but I can't think of one just because, you know, those 3 years, the rebuild probably took, you know, 4 steps ahead of where we maybe should have been. And, you know, then setting them up for the next 4 or 5 years after he's gone. I mean, who can honestly say that?
It's Sports Radio, WEI. It's WEI Late Night. My name is Patrick Gilroy. Joining me on the line right now from Barstool Sports, it's Dan Greenberg. And Dan, you know, I would love to sit here and talk to you and reminisce about Isaiah Thomas, but the fact is we're down to the last 10 games or so of the season. The Celtics, they lost a game, and this is the type of game that bothers me the most because I feel like talent-wise, the Celtics and Nuggets, they're comparable. The Nuggets have been a bit more consistent this year. But overall, if you compare talent to talent, you know, they're there, and the Celtics are at home. And that brutal stretch at the end of the third quarter going into the fourth, I feel like stretches like that or mistakes like that are bound to happen in playoff games. And what worries me the most about this team still is their inability to come back from something like that, whether it's another team punching them in the face and them just not having the ability to get up, or internal, you know, mistakes that they make by themselves. It's almost like they get down on themselves and it they never recover. You know, watching this team all season long, do you feel like this team has got what it takes upstairs to make it through a brutal seven-game series, with whether it's the Sixers or the Bucks or Toronto? Or are they just mentally deficient when it comes to their mental toughness?
Well, we certainly see it at nights. I mean, there are times when they punch back and they respond, and there are times where they sort of have a mental sort of brain collapse, forget how to play basketball, and all of a sudden the shot selection is terrible, the defense is even worse, and they just, you know, try to hit a home run play. They were shooting early in that fourth quarter when, you know, everyone was freaking out after that early 6-0 run. The Celtics came out and immediately changed their offense and did nothing but these home run threes instead of realizing, like, hey, there's still a lot of time left. Let's calm down. Let's take a breath and actually run an offense. And I think that's from Brad down. I think, you know, you look at how he's coached down the stretch, his decision-making, like, you know, he can honestly say maybe he threw that one away last night, but the players have to take the responsibility as well of, you know, can we actually get a stop when Kyrie's on the bench and keep us in the game? And they just couldn't do it.
All right, help me make sense of something, because it's been going on all season long. I understand Marcus Morris was the second-best Celtic on this team the first 2 months of the year. There is certainly a substantial role for him on this team. I'm not questioning his ability to be a contributing player. But this has been a very, very consistent trend all season long, where Marcus Morris last night, 35 minutes, Jaylen Brown, 20 minutes. Why is Marcus Morris, who's a guy with a limited ceiling, he sort of is what he is, continuing to get considerably more minutes than Jaylen Brown?
So last night was a little weird, obviously, because you don't have Hayward, so you're probably going to, you know, Tatum played, I think, 35, 36 minutes, and he was, you know, certainly not at his best. But Jaylen wasn't either. I mean, he was the one that lost the cutter at the end of the third quarter, went right by him and dunked at the buzzer. His offense, there was no aggressiveness. You know, four of his six shots were threes. There was not, he didn't have that same attack mentality. So when I look at Brad, I say, okay, he probably had to play Morris a little bit more because of Hayward being out. And then Jaylen hasn't exactly earned those minutes. So I think you would rather, you know, give them to him, but I'm all for Brad, you know, sending a message to say, hey, you may have had a good 4 or 5-game stretch right now, but if you're not going to be mentally there, I'm not going to play you, because that's how it's going to have to be in the playoffs with everybody. I think if it's Hayward, if it's Morris, if it's Kyrie, if you're laying an egg in the playoff game, Brad's going to have to pull you, and they're going to have to go to their death.
So tomorrow night's a big game, clearly, for the Celtics. They're going to Philadelphia. Philly played tonight, so second night back-to-back situation for the Sixers. Sixers played very well tonight. They've really come together nicely over the last couple of weeks. We know the Celtics have had their way with the Sixers over the last few years. Do you buy into that, the fact that the Celtics have had their way with the Sixers, regardless of the talent on their roster? Are you one of these guys that says, hey, you know, just scoreboard, baby, take a look at that and you know, shut up to Philly fans? Or do you think that there's something there with this new Sixers team, now having had Jimmy Butler and Tobias Harris for the better part, at least Tobias Harris for the last month or so, and Jimmy Butler the last few months? Is this a different group of Sixers that the Celtics are facing tomorrow night, or will it be more of the same?
Well, I think, you know, for the Celtics to have had the success, you obviously have to play well. The Sixers, it's not that they don't have talent, but they're one of these teams that the Celtics just match up great against. They know how to defend Ben Simmons. Al Horford defends Joel Embiid without help and completely owns that matchup. So you think, like, okay, if the Celtics play well and the Sixers play well, their strengths match up with our strengths. You know, if you can limit J.J. Redick on perimeter defense with your wings, which are supposed to be good defenders, it's just a matchup issue. And the Sixers' offense, they haven't cracked the code, because Ben Simmons won't shoot a jump shot. So until that happens, it's sort of like, you know, that's why we're seeing, I think they've won 22 out of the last 23 or something crazy like that. But the Celtics have to play well. It's not like they can go into Philadelphia and they aren't, you know, they're not at risk of getting blown out, because these are the Celtics that we've seen all year, where they could throw off a 12-point first quarter and be down 32-12 before you even know it. So if the Celtics play well, I think their matchup and how they know how to defend Philly is just too much.
So the Celtics right now, they're 3 games behind the Sixers with 11 games to go in the season. Dan, any chance you think that they manage to catch Philly, or is the 4 seed really the ceiling for the Celtics?
I mean, It just depends. They may prefer the four seed. If Indiana, who's out in the Clippers today, they end up, you know, sliding to the five, maybe you want that 4-5 matchup to then face Milwaukee in the second round. So if the Sixers want to, you know, pound their chest that they won the three seed and they can get bounced early with a tougher road, knock yourself out. So I think, you know, it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world if they beat the Sixers, end up in the fourth seed, have an easier path in theory, you know, to go deep in the playoffs. I see nothing wrong with that.
So just real quick, I happen to notice that Andrew Bogut, he's back in the league, and the Celtics tried, they gave him a phone call, but obviously it didn't work out. And then I was kicking around and looking at other potential bigs. Have you happened to see what Spencer Hawes is doing in the D-League right now? Have you seen his numbers?
I haven't, but I saw a tweet about him that he was, like, crushing it, but I don't know. I haven't seen, like, did he win, like, an MVP or something?
Well, he's only been back in the D-League for, I'm going to say, 10 games or so, so he was completely out of basketball, and he's tried to get back into the NBA. He's putting up, like, 30 points a night right now, like, 30 and 10 in the D-League, and if memory serves me correctly, like, maybe 5-6 years ago, wasn't he, like, an impact player for the Sixers?
Yeah, he was this big stretch big, you know, could hit the three, but let's remember, I mean, there were times when James Young averaged like 35 in the D-League, so I think you have to take it with a grain of salt. And I love James Young, but, I mean, I'm not giving playoff minutes to Spencer Hawes at this point in the year,
hey, man,
unfortunately.
You know what, if Andrew Bogut can start for the Warriors in 2019, Spencer Hawes, he's got to get a chance somewhere. You know, like, let's be serious about this. Andrew Bogut got the start. I couldn't believe it. Like, I thought,
yeah,
we were in the,
like,
Wayback Machine.
They're like 110 in like 17 in games that he starts. So maybe he just, you know, he's like an instant plug and play.
All right, Dan. Hopefully we'll get to enjoy some more Isaiah Thomas back in the Celtics uniform next year. Because last night, if last night was the last time we get to celebrate him like that, then that's going to be a real shame.
Yeah, I mean, as he says, just speak it into existence and, you know, you never know.
All right, Dan. I appreciate it, man. We'll talk to you again real soon.
All right, guys. Thanks.
There he goes, Dan Greenberg from Barstool Sports. You guys check him out on Twitter, at StoolGreeny. That's where you find him. You read his stuff on Barstool. It is phenomenal. If you're like me, if you're a Green teamer, it's like Celtics porn, and there's really nothing better than that. So it is Sports Radio, WEI. My name is Patrick Gilroy. When we come back, we'll get to more of your phone calls. If you're on the line, stay on the line. I see you there talking about the Boston Celtics. Big game tomorrow night in Philadelphia against the new-look Sixers. The Sixers, they talk a lot of garbage, but the Celtics, they just point to the scoreboard. We'll talk about that. Also want to get into some of this crazy baseball stuff before we get out of here, too. $400 million deals for a game that is supposedly dying. One of these things just doesn't belong. We'll talk about that and more when we come back right here on Sports Radio WEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.